Well, we have been looking at the necessity of brokenness, and it's a series of three, and we have looked at it the last time, the first one was protest against brokenness, and the second was how God chooses the tools to break us and to regulate the pressure and the temperature in the whole process. And this morning, we want to look at mere submission or true willingness. And as my wife has read Jonah 3:1-5, this is what we are looking at, very, very powerful. Last time, we finished where Jonah was rescued to the shore. Now the story begins all over again. God repeated exactly the same words again. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. This sentence so clearly brings out that the time between the two commands were totally unnecessary. It simply was a waste of time. You know, like the Israelites, they spent 40 years in the desert and they could have done the journey in 10 or 11 days. Total waste of time. If we rebel against God, we waste precious time. It is said time is money, which is not untrue, but spiritually speaking, time is much, much more important and significant because you only live once and it's much more important than money. You know, I constantly struggle with time. I figured if I had 3 hours more every day, 27 hours, I would be all right. And they say, the older you get, the faster the time goes, so I don't know how I will be able to cope when I'm 60. But it is, I certainly don't understand how people hundreds of years ago with 10 kids, no washing machine, how they cope. I don't know. So much work, not even a washing machine. You know, time is very, very precious and important. Now, spiritually, I and we cannot afford to waste time because we want to grow into that man of God and woman of God He wants us to become. Many years ago, my brother backslid from the Lord. He was a baptized Christian. He studied the Word of God and then he got into wrong circles, got astray, and he left God completely for quite a number of years. And then I remember so well, he wanted to come back, but he was so far off. It was so difficult for him. And that's when he said to me, David, you have chosen the right path in life, and I the wrong one. And that is exactly what happened. But praise God, he is now on fire for God again and a real bright Christian. But he has wasted a lot of time. We don't want to waste time. We cannot waste time in rebelling against God. It's a waste of time. The runaway prophet is privileged to hear God speaking to him once more. He has paid the penalty of his earlier disobedience, which wasn't God's intention, and is again enjoying fellowship with God at this time. God, in his mercy, didn't bar Jonah from further service. This is good news for you and me. When we blow it, God still is going to use you and forgive you and doesn't bore the service. Jonah was literally a transformed man. Now, his actions are in accordance with the word of the Lord. Not what he himself thought would be best, but he obeyed like a sheep. Jonah was practicing Psalm 119, 59 and 60, which says, I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. Now he finally started the job. Verse 4, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now keep in mind, he was just released from the bad taxi a few days ago, and here he stands crying out this impending doom. There are a number of interesting questions we can ask here. Like, is this all that he said? That seems unlikely. The king's knowledge in verse 7 to 9 certainly shows of a theological grasp of the basic characteristic of God. And this highly suggests that Jonah clearly told them why this judgment was impending. The king said, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? This is absolutely amazing. This is a very severe fast for 3 days. No eating, no drinking. And not only that, he went even further. No animal in the country is going to eat and drink either. Oh my goodness, he meant business. Do you know how loud that must have been? If you don't give food to horses and cows, I mean, I'm not a farmer, but I can imagine you will hear a moo. And where is my food? Meh. You can tell I'm not a farmer. But it must have been a big stir up here. And then all the people crying out to God. This was quite a situation. This was business with God. Jonah must have preached a very powerful message, which leads to our next question. Did Jonah tell them about his experience of the black taxi? From the book of Jonah itself, is nothing there to prove that. But we read in Luke 11, 29 and 30, where Jesus said, this is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation. What Jesus and Jonah had in common here was that both would undergo a death experience connected with God's judgments on sin. And both would have a miraculous deliverance from death by the power of God. That would constitute the sign to be given to their generation. Because we read, Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites. The word became implies He himself was the sign. And then also the Son of Man will be to this generation. He himself will be the sign after the crucifixion. So the answer is yes. Jonah did tell them about the black taxi. Otherwise, he couldn't have been a sign. He informed them about his own experience of the consequences of disobeying God. And how God's power can save from even the most extreme circumstances. He may have looked a bit paler than usual from all the fish kind of gastric acid. And that spoke volumes for itself. He was stirred up and told them, hey, I was in that fish too. I was in that fish. I fasted too. Not voluntary, but I did. Well, sometimes I had a fish between my teeth. Or was it slimy sea plants? You know, he told them about the experience. So in this way, we can see that the message Jonah eventually brought to the Ninevites went further than just announcing something. Jonah 1:2. Originally, the emphasis had been on divine displeasure with the conduct of the Ninevites, but now it became one of imminent punishment with the prophet himself as a living example of God's willingness and power to save. God uses even our mistakes. Praise God. After that, we of course read in verse 10 that God didn't send his judgment. From a human perspective, God changed his mind. But of course we know God never changes his mind. He always stays the same. The Ninevites have changed their ways. The reason why I lingered so long on that point was to show you Jonah did a proper job. He fulfilled his mission very well. Jonah did the job God wanted him to do. Outwardly, he was a successful evangelist with God's anointing. And after this, we read that staggering verse in Jonah 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. The roots of his heart still needed changing. But we shouldn't condemn him too quickly. For one thing, the Lord does not punish him, but rather treats him with patience and concern. This is not the disobedient prophet running away from his divine commission, but the perplexed prophet obeying without understanding. When you don't understand the world anymore, when you grow in perplexity and nothing makes sense anymore, when the chaos in your life is too much, what do you do? Let's look at what Jonah did. Verse 2, Jonah prayed. Notice that he acts in faith and sets out his problem before God. He is arguing with God. He is opposing to what God had done. But he is not doing so by turning his back on God. In his heart of hearts, he still thinks his own idea was better. His prayer was about I, me, and myself. In the New King James, 6 times. At the root, Jonah was finding fault with God for being the way he was. Could that be your situation? You are not happy with how God is dealing with you, maybe? You may compare yourself with others, thinking, why is God blessing that person or this person so much and not me? This is obviously only going on in the back of our minds. You may not even dare to say it, but maybe you're angry with God in your heart about something. Why have I such a stubborn son like his father? Why have I such an expensive wife? Anger is only one letter short of danger. And he who angers you controls you. The question is, by whom are you controlled? So we conclude that it is possible to be a Christian or even God's prophet and do the will of God, but your heart is still miles away from God's heart. So Jonah did pray and poured out his heart, but he should have extended his words saying, please help my attitude to become like yours, God. Help me, I can't cope here. Please help me to think as you think. Help me to become like you are. You know, a young man was getting ready to graduate in college. And for many months, he had admired a sports car in a dealer's showroom. And knowing his dad has got plenty of money, he could afford that for him to buy, no problem. And he let him know. And then graduation day arrived, and there were signs of that his dad did pay for the car. And then the very moment came where the dad called the son to come to his private study. And he said, son, I'm so proud of you. You've done so well. You're a fine son. And I want to give you this. And he handed over a very nice wrapped up books. The son took it, a bit perplexed, a bit disappointed, but somehow still wanting to know what is in there. So he opened it, and there was a very nice leather-bound Bible in that box with his name embossed in gold. And he said, what? You give me a Bible? Is that all you give me? A Bible? And he was so disappointed and so angry, he just left it there and left him. Now, he became a very successful businessman, and he had a lovely family. And many years later, he thought, maybe I need to go and visit my dad again because he's now old. And he tried to make arrangements. And when he was doing that, he received a telegram saying his father has passed away. Come quickly home, and because he actually left you all his assets. So he went home, and as he approached home, feelings of regret came over him. And he went through all the papers, and he could see that very Bible he received many years ago. And he took it. It was exactly in the same position where he left it. And it looked brand new, just as he left it. He opened it, and his father had carefully underlined the verse. Matthew 7:11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give to those who ask him? And in that moment, a key dropped out of the back of the Bible with a tap from that very dealer for the car he so wanted. It had a date on it, and it was the date of the graduation. And it said, paid in full. Can you imagine? That went very deep. How many times do you and me miss God's blessings because they are not packed as we expected? If your gift is not packed the way you want it, it's because it is better packed that way. Do not spoil what you have by desiring what you have not. Always appreciate little things. They usually lead you to attachments. This young man had a very similar problem as Jonah had. He was angry with his loving and kind father who wanted the very best for him. Jonah also was angry with his heavenly father, God. God asked Jonah in verse 4, is it right for you to be angry? Was it right for that young graduate to be angry with his dad because he didn't get what he wanted? Of course not. Because actually he did get what he wanted, but it was wrapped differently. Lord Halifax said, anger is never without an argument, but seldom with a good one. Very true. It wasn't a good argument the young man had. Neither was Jonah's argument good. This young chap fulfilled his dad's desire and concluded his studies well to his dad's delight. Jonah went to Nineveh and had done well. You may have done what God wanted you to do. And you did it even well. But what did we say last time? What brokenness means? Do you remember? Brokenness is God's process of bringing us to the point where we not only don't have the final say, but where we have nothing to say except to ask, Lord Jesus, what would you have me to do? Jonah wasn't there yet. That's why he needed further treatments in different ways without any major tools. God just literally spoke to Jonah and used the worm and the wine as illustrations. His character needed time and much changing. Listen. For you and me, character may not be that important as it is for God. Your character is the only thing you're going to take with you when you are promoted upstairs, if you're a Christian. Otherwise, it's downstairs. But can we say, Lord Jesus, what would you have me to do? I don't expect anything for it. What do you want me to be?